for the Sunshine State.
It's now time for Connecting Caregivers with author, speaker, caregiver advocate, and talk show host, Linda Burhans, the gal who cares for caregivers.
You up. It's time to celebrate. Good afternoon and welcome to Connecting Caregivers Radio with me, Linda Burhans, the gal who cares for the caregivers, on the show where you can find help and hope. We have Vaughn on the boards today. Hey,
yes,
Vaughn,
hello.
How are you today?
I'm good. How are you?
That's good. We have Lynn on the line?
Yes.
Hey, Lynn.
Hey, Lenny. Happy Saturday to you.
Happy Saturday to you. I'm glad to be talking to you. I'm a little sad you're not here at the station with me, but we got to do what we got to do.
No, I think you'd be much happier because I've been pulling up crabgrass for 3 hours and I'm stinky.
Oh, that's not good.
You don't need me sitting beside you.
No. So I'm very excited. I can't wait to see you. I got my cast off.
I know, that's so exciting, Lenny.
Yeah, so that's been very exciting. It's still a little sore. I have like a little wrist thing on it, and I started my physical therapy this week, so that's really good.
Was it good?
Yeah, it was good. It's a little painful, but it's good. I just got to do what I got to do.
Yeah, how's the driving?
I'm just a little cautious, and you know what? There's not a lot of people on the road, so that's a good thing at least.
Yeah, that's true. That's a good thing.
Yeah, yeah.
So now you're scaredy like I am.
A little bit.
Driving.
That's not that good for both of us, you know. All right, honey, I'll talk to you soon.
Have a great show, and I'll be listening.
All right. Have a delicious day.
Love you. Bye-bye.
Bye. So it's been a pretty tough week. It's been a pretty tough couple of weeks for caregivers with everything that's going on. A lot of caregivers, their loved one is used to going to adult daycare or just doing some kind of social things, and none of that can happen right now. And many times their loved one, especially if they're suffering with Alzheimer's and dementia, just can't understand it. And they're following people around the house, and they're anxious. And I want the caregivers to first remember, if you are anxious, they're going to be anxious too. So I think we need to shut that television off a little bit and just try to connect. And I went to this, well, actually, it was a Zoom presentation, a seminar this week with Tam Cummings, Dr. Tam Cummings, on behalf of Arden Courts. And she was talking about quick stress relief tips for caregivers. And this one I had never heard. It's called the Greenstone's Awesome Icebreaker. So she said, when you get to the point where you're feeling a little overwhelmed, your head feels like it's going to explode, your blood pressure is going up, go to the freezer, take out one piece of ice, go to the sink, hold the ice in one hand over the sink so it doesn't drip all over your house. Wrap your fingers tightly around the ice. Shut your eyes, stop talking, and breathe only through your nose. Well, you know, your brain's primary function is to monitor, order, and oversee the body and emotions. However, the body has first priority. So your body's instinctive behavior will take over. So your brain will immediately stop spinning. It will rapidly close down all the processes that are making you feel overwhelmed. The ice in your hand, remember one hand only, forces the brain back to its primary function of monitoring the body. Well, I said, that's all good and well, but I wonder if it really works. So I haven't been stressed this week. Thank God I didn't need to do that. But one of my caregivers called, and she was very stressed. And we just chatted a little bit about it. And she had done some breathing, but she said, I just feel so overwhelmed. It takes me like 10 minutes to get down. So I told her the next time that happened to try it. And she called me shortly after that and said, it was fabulous. It was absolutely fabulous. So think about that. We got to trick our brain sometimes into to let our body do what it needs to do and just calm down and breathe. So thank you, Tam Cummings. So we have two special guests on the show today. Well, of course, they're just calling in. They can't be with me. So we have Dr. David Schumann and Dr. Rick Tantillo from Alexander Spine and Chiropractic. Are you guys with me? Hello.
This is Dr. Tantillo. Hi, this is Dr. Tantillo. Good afternoon.
How are you today?
I'm awesome. How are you?
Joyful and grateful.
Good.
So I think Dr. Schumann will be calling in up. I think he's calling in right now. So where are you calling from, Rick?
I am from Palm Harbor, Florida.
Okay, so not bad. I'm right here in Clearwater. And the doc is in Seminole. So I think he's going to come on right now. Doc?
Yes.
How are you today?
Wonderful. Wonderful. Happy to be here.
I'm very glad both of you are here today. Both of you helped me yesterday. I'm a regular patient at Alexander Spine and Chiropractic, and since I got my cast off, I started some physical therapy. And it's funny, people tell you, even the doctor who took my cast off said, oh, you don't need any physical therapy, just go home, move your hand around a bit. Well, after I met with you yesterday, Dr. Schumann, I need physical therapy.
Absolutely.
And it was unbelievable. I could just see the different range of motions and stuff. So it's so important. I always say to people, especially with elders, that when they fall, if they break a hip or a knee or whatever, that could be the end. Thank God this was only the wrist, but please follow through. And if your doctor says you don't need physical therapy and you feel like you do, just tell him I want physical therapy, because that's what I had to do.
Yeah, if you're adamant about getting it, they're not going to say no.
Yeah, it's crazy. And you know your body better than anybody.
Absolutely.
So Doc, a lot of people are crammed in the house now and working out of the house and doing a whole lot of different things. Are you still open? Well, you were open for me yesterday, but are you open in general?
Yes, absolutely. We are open. We have our normal business hours. You know, we are definitely considered part of the essential workforce. And so we have both of our physical therapy and chiropractic services full time.
And I know when I came in there yesterday, they took my temperature.
Yes, you know, that's just part of our, you know, protocol, trying to make sure that we're being safe and following all of the guidelines.
Yeah, and I think it just makes everybody feel more comfortable anyway. So, you know, we're hoping we can get back to doing things, and when you need to take one step at a time. So what do my listeners need to hear from you guys today about cramping up and having computers in bed with them and everything else?
Yeah, I mean, that's probably the biggest change for all those that are going to be home more often because of not being able to work, is that we're spending more time doing things that we don't normally have time for. And that might be spending time on the computer. It might be caring for their family. I mean, I think about, you know, people that are working that might be paying for, you know, these caregivers,
right.
And maybe they can't work and they can't afford it. So now they're the ones that are providing the care. You know, are they doing the lifting properly? Are they, you know, doing all those things safely.
Right. And then you got the ones that are fixing up their houses.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
You know, you think they're Superman.
Lowe's and Home Depot is very busy. Everybody's trying to do their home renovations and are doing things that they, again, don't normally do. And they're probably hurting themselves doing it.
Yeah, because you know what the thing is? When you're doing it, it doesn't hurt when you're doing it. You feel like you're okay when you're doing it. It's later on is when it hurts.
A few hours later, though. Absolutely.
So what are some, you know, and I think one of the most important things we need to talk about is, so I wasn't exercising much because I had the cast on.
Mm-hmm.
Well, so yesterday something comes on the TV, some dance thing, and I just start dancing around, and all of a sudden I feel like a twitch. I didn't stretch or anything. How silly was that? Not that you shouldn't dance around, but at my age, I think, or anybody, you need to do some stretching first.
Yeah, it's very important, or some type of warm-up. It doesn't always have to be stretching, but doing something that's very, very low impact and gradual, like a little bit of a short walk or stretching does also fill that role. Just kind of getting the body ready.
So explain to our listeners when you said, like, getting the body ready. Like, just like when you were doing that physical therapy on my arm yesterday, you were like, Linda, we need to get the fluids moving. And I really didn't understand all of that until you explained it to me.
Yeah, so lots of times, I like to start with something simply called active range of motion, which is you moving your own body. Now, for you, especially with your wrist, you're a little stiff, right? So you don't have full range of motion. But just moving in the range that you have is helpful because you're using the muscle. You're increasing the temperature of the muscle. You're decreasing that risk of injury. Right? And that works for the whole body. So doing something as simple as a 3 or 3 to 5 minute walk before doing something more vigorous is going to warm up the muscles, get the blood flowing, you're increasing circulation, and just, again, preparing the body for that kind of work. And you're going to really decrease the risk of injury when you do that.
Well, you know, I think it's I think we take advantage of our bodies. We expect it to go, and we got, you know, that's why I so believe in chiropractic, is I feel if I take care of my body, then I can go.
Yes.
So what do you say
and
about
that's why
that?
We believe in both of our services, and the chiropractic side of things is really focusing on maintaining that, right? So we're trying to first get the body back into alignment and homeostasis, and then trying to keep it there over time.
Yeah. So, Dr. Rick, you still with us?
Yep.
So what do you think our caregivers need to hear about taking care of themselves on a daily basis right now?
Well, one of the things we're doing is stay safer at home, but we do have to go out for essentials. So an important thing to keep in mind is wearing a mask when you go out. And that's not so much to keep you safe, but it's to keep the people around you safe. So if you sneeze or cough, that you're protecting them. And those droplets that come from your mouth or nose are staying contained within your mask. And, you know, as an adjunct to what Dr. Schumann had just said, where, you know, doing work around the house and exercising, how would you even know if you didn't stretch, if you had an injury, you know, suddenly something hurts, my back hurts, my neck hurts. So some important things to keep in mind are if you have an acute injury, for example, you stumbled and you fell and you can still walk, but it hurts, there's probably inflammation there, right? So there's always confusion. Do I use heat? Do I use cold?
Right.
And typically an acute injury, which is, you know, from initial onset to up to 72 hours, you'll want to put cold on that. And then if it's something like you were doing where you were just stretching, you didn't stretch, but you were doing some exercises around the house and you felt more stiff than anything, that's a perfect opportunity to use heat. One of the great things also to try would be an Epsom salt bath, right? So Epsom salts or magnesium salts, you take that, 2 cups or so in a hot bath for about 20 to 30 minutes, and that will really relax the muscles that you strained.
Why? How does that work? Explain to my listeners, how does that work, that Epsom bath?
Well, so Epsom salts are magnesium salts, and when you sit in there, that would relax the muscle just like taking magnesium.
Okay.
And as a result, would soothe you, one from the heat and two from the magnesium. So it's actually very good for you, and then if you do that before bed and get a good night's sleep, that's when our body heals, mostly at night when we rest. So that's an important thing to keep in mind, and it's something that you can very easily become addicted to because it's so comfortable. But the other thing to keep in mind, too, is if you do have an injury and you feel you need more care than just applying ice to yourself or heat, you know, remembering that we're open and we are considered essential, we have, you know, a lot of tools in our office that we could use to take care of you, from chiropractic adjustments. If we feel that their injury goes beyond a typical sprain or strain, we have x-ray equipment, which we can diagnose, you know, things that are more serious and really take care of you so we don't overwhelm the acute care centers and the hospitals who are busy treating people who come in with more respiratory things and more concerned about COVID-19 concerns.
Yeah, you know, and when you mentioned earlier, too, about getting a good night's sleep, I think that's a big problem for a lot of people. How does chiropractic play a role with that?
Oh, well, I mean, basically, our body is amazing how it works, if you really think about it. So, you know, we have a brain, and our brain controls everything that we do. And our brain has a tail, and that's our spinal cord. And our spinal cord is protected in the spinal canal and runs down our back or in between where our vertebrae go, and then branches come out. So how does rest play a role? Well, you know, our bodies are designed to take care of themselves. And when you're in proper alignment and all those nerves that exit the spinal cord to every part of our brain, every part of our body, heart, spleen, liver, gallbladder, everything, then we're functioning properly and we're aligned. And when we rest at night, we go to sleep and our body has an opportunity to heal itself as we rest. So, yeah, it's an amazing machine that we are.
Yeah, it is. It's totally amazing. Because I think that's one of the biggest stress levels with people is lack of sleep. And I think that it can be addressed a bunch of different ways. You know, I do my chiropractic regularly. I exercise regularly. But I also have a little tinnitus. So at night when I go to sleep to either rainstorms or the ocean or something like that. Because I think it's so crucial to get that good rest.
And it is. And too many of us are not getting that good 7 to 8 hours worth of restful sleep. And, you know, that is one thing that does create stress on our body. And if we can pay attention to getting a good night's sleep, that goes a long way. And, you know, a lot of people have problems because they don't sleep in the right position. Right? I mean, tinnitus is one thing, and I know exactly what you're talking about. I suffer from that as well. But, you know, sleeping on a good firm mattress is typically good. A good recipe for a good night's sleep. Also, you sleep on your side, back, or stomach. So the optimum way to sleep would be on your back, which if you had a cervical pillow, that's even better. And you preserve the natural curve, the lordotic curve, we call it, in your neck, and allow your body to assume, your spine to assume a proper normal positioning while you're resting. Second best way to sleep. I'm sorry. And then, of course, the second best way to sleep is, you know, on your side if you can, pillow between your knees. One of the worst ways, and one of the ways where you'll toss a lot and get a not so restful night's sleep, would be sleeping on your stomach.
Yeah, yeah. And why, when you sleep on your side, do you put a pillow between your knees?
Sure. If you think about that top leg, you know, it's going to fall down towards the that's laying flat on the bed, and that creates stress on the hip.
Okay.
And also into the lumbar spine. So a pillow between your knee kind of levels you out and okay. allows a more neutral position for you to be in while you rest.
Yeah, I do it sometimes. I don't. It just depends on how, you know, the mood or whatever. I was just curious.
Exactly.
We have a caller. Who do we have on the line? Hello?
Catherine Larkin, can you hear me?
Hi, Catherine. How are you today?
Fine. How are you, Linda?
Joyful and grateful.
You always are. That's wonderful.
I always say some days I'm joyfully challenged, but I'm always grateful.
You are. That's really good. Well, I have a question for the doctors. I've been to their chiropractor office many, many times. I think they're phenomenal. Thank you. But my question is, my husband's back has been bothering him. He's gone to his doctor. He's had, I don't know, shot of cortisone or whatever. I cannot get him in to see a chiropractor. What are the things I can say to him that will enable him to say, hey, he needs to go to a chiropractor? He's scared of it.
And we hear that a lot, that, you know, some people are nervous about what the process is and what is a spinal adjustment. But the first and most foremost reason to come in is to get properly assessed and diagnosed. And, you know, look at whatever diagnostic imaging has taken care has that he's had in the past. And there's a lot of ways to treat different things. You can, if you have an injury and it's chronic and you have chronic inflammation, you may get a corticosteroid injection and that will relieve that pain, but it's not really correcting the problem.
Right.
Where in chiropractic, what we're trying to do is properly diagnose what's wrong and come up with a solution that addresses correcting the problem so that it functions better and doesn't become a chronic problem any longer and inhibit your lifestyle.
You know,
and
go ahead.
I'm sorry. No, that's it. And, you know, the other thing is, you know, depending on age, you know, there's a lot of factors that affect, you know, how fast somebody can recover. But typically it's relatively within a short amount of time and with a good combination of chiropractic care, looking at nutrition and overall health,
yeah,
and of course physical therapy, then, you know, that process usually works pretty well. It's a good combination that we have.
Well, you know, years ago, Doc, was all those, the you know, people didn't even believe in chiropractic. And then they were like, oh, they're going to crack your back, they're going to crack your head, they're going to crack something. And it made people very fearful.
Right. I think that's what my husband is.
That's what I'm thinking, because he's like from that generation.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And, you know, that's and I'll tell you what, years and years ago, that, you know, there was some validity to that. The pendulum has really swung in the other direction, where the education for chiropractic students now is incredible. And, you know, it's a typical pre-med undergraduate curriculum. And then it's just under 4 years chiropractic school. And then, you know, there's internships and externships associated with that as well. So chiropractic physicians today come out extremely well trained.
Yeah, yeah. It's a whole different. And like I say, even insurance believes in chiropractic. Say years ago, not at all. You could never get anything like that. And I just see, I go to the chiropractor because I don't want those injuries. I want to keep my body in shape so I don't get those injuries.
Yeah, exactly. And that's an important point, Linda. If you think about it, we are active. We bend over, we twist, we turn, we lift.
All day.
And, you know, right, all day. And, you know, being on a computer, you know, there's a lot of factors that come into causing problems, like the ergonomics of our workstation, where our computer is, et cetera. But in general, the average chiropractic adjustment will last about 14 days. So you have 7 cervical, 12 thoracic, and 5 lumbar vertebrae, and you're constantly moving all of them.
Right.
So we can put you in real good alignment, and physical therapy can help the musculature portion of that be maintained so that you can hold your adjustment longer. But the best adjustment and the best physical therapy to a patient, you're still being a normal active person, going to last about 14 days.
So, Catherine, tell Tom to call me. I'll talk to him.
Okay. Well, I've done, and I know Dr. Schumann, you've done some physical therapy on me. So my back was bothering me a couple days ago, and I got out and I started doing all my physical therapy, and it feels so much better. Well, but I guess I could just have him come for just an appointment, and maybe that might put him at ease to see what could be
absolutely
done.
Yeah.
You know, as soon as you walk in there, they make you feel so comfortable there.
That's true. That's
so
true.
It's a good thing. Thanks for calling, Catherine.
Thank you.
Stay
safe.
Bye-bye. All right, docs, we're going to hear from our wonderful sponsors, so please don't go away. We'll be back in a little bit. And to my listeners, stay tuned for Connecting Caregivers Radio.
Passionate and dependable home care. For you or a loved one, Assisting Hands Home Care serving Pinellas and Pasco counties can help.
The day came that taking care of my mother was no longer the best thing for me or for her. Between kids and a job, I couldn't give her the attention she needed and deserved, and I was overwhelmed. So I reached out to Assisting Hands Home Care. Now I can see what an important decision that was, and I feel confident that my mother has compassionate and dependable caregivers who help her to stay happy, healthy, and home. Today, I'm able to visit with my mother and enjoy our time together, which is exactly what we both needed.
Assisting Hands Home Care. Call today for your free in-home consultation. In Pinellas, call 727-748-4211. In Pasco, call 813-280-4383 or visit assistinghands.com. When you can't do it all, give Assisting Hands a call. Arden Courts is an assisted living facility designed to care for those that are struggling with dementia or Alzheimer's, where families and residents can feel the freedom with a nurse on site 24/7. Arden Courts provides specialized memory care in a safe and nurturing environment. They recognize every individual's physical, mental, and social needs and provide a secure environment that fosters independence for as long as possible. Walking paths, visual cues, and home-like amenities invoke a sense of freedom and independence. At Arden Courts, their goal is to make your loved one as comfortable, independent, and healthy as possible. They offer 10 hours a day of activities and programming with a unique setting of a home-like environment and 4 theme houses. It warms my heart to see how happy the residents are. Please call or stop in to talk with a representative. Arden Courts of Seminole at 727-517-7800, Largo 727-559-8411, or Palm Harbor 727-771-1600. Give them a call.
Is the fear of falling keeping you from doing the things you love? Do you suffer from diabetic neuropathy or plantar fasciitis? VoxLife can help. Whether you're caring for someone you love or being cared for, VoxLife wearable neurotech helps your body reach its full potential. Proven to reduce symptoms of diabetic neuropathy and plantar fasciitis, VoxLife also reduces the risk of falling in adults over the age of 55 by 8 times. VoxLife is a safe, simple, drug-free solution that optimizes your neurology. The biggest breakthrough in wellness in 50 years. VoxLife offers a 30-day money-back guarantee. You can't afford not to try it. To learn more about VoxLife, go to www.voxlife.com/caregivers. That's www.voxlife.com/caregivers. They help my parents and they can help yours too.
I see trees of green,
red roses too.
I see them blue.
for me and you. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world.
Okay, caregivers, now it's time for the caregiver affirmation. Take a minute. Take a deep breath. Sit down. Close your eyes if possible and just listen to these words. I know on my journey there is help and hope. I affirm that I am a good caregiver, that I try my best each day, and I recognize that I deserve to have my own needs met just as much as those for whom I care. I promise I will not allow myself to be consumed by my caregiving role, and I will set aside time in my busy schedule just for me. I am mindful of the other caregivers in my life, and I will let them know that I appreciate their efforts. I am grateful for the people that walk beside me. I will take good care of my own health physically and spiritually, drink enough water, eat quality foods, allow for time to rest and to exercise, laugh often, if only at myself, and seek medical attention for my own health concerns. I am who I am, and I allow others to be who they are. Today I will add one item to my assisting angels list. Then if someone calls to say, let me know if there's something I can do, I will be ready to accept their offer and provide them with the opportunity to assist me. It is an honor to be of service of others, and I will not deny my friends and family this honor. Okay, think about it, caregivers.
And I know it's a little difficult, caregivers, right now when everything is going on, but if you know a neighbor is going to the store to pick up some groceries and you need something, just ask them. I'm sure they would be more than happy to do it for you. It's just tough right now, and maybe sometimes it's just a phone call. So, docs, I want to talk a little bit more about this ergonomics. Somebody said to me the other day, I don't have a comfortable place really in my house. I find I'm best standing and working on my computer off the kitchen counter. What do you guys think about that?
Yeah, so that's a toughie. Now, standing, there's nothing wrong with standing. It's actually wonderful. But the problem is that the computer you're using is most likely not moving up with you. So most likely you're going to be looking downward at some type of monitor or laptop, and you're going to really be straining your neck. Right? So one of the most important parts of proper ergonomics, especially in sitting or standing, would be having a nice straight neck. Right? So making sure that the viewing device that you're using, whether it's, again, a laptop or a monitor, is eye level. It's really important.
Yeah, I don't think a lot of people realize that. You know, you might have to put something underneath your monitor or whatever to raise it up a little bit, because so many times you just see today people like on tablets and stuff, and they're like hunched over.
Yeah, I think about the ones that are laying in their beds at night and looking down at their phones or their tablets.
Yeah.
That prolonged looking down is really, really going to start causing some issues in the neck, in the cervical spine. So your best bet is to elevate the device you're looking at and try to keep your neck as straight as you can.
Yeah. Well, you know, since I was a kid, my dad always said, stand up straight. It's good for you. You know, it's good for you. It makes you feel healthy. I don't know what he really meant, but he was right. He was
absolutely
right. That was so important.
I mean, majority of us sit when they're on the computer, so there are other factors that are equally as important. You know, a proper chair. I mean, you can't just take a folding chair and sit in that for 2 hours. It's not going to give you the support that you need. So making sure that you have, and there are chairs that are labeled as ergonomic, and most of these chairs have a very good lumbar support. So, the bottom of the chair will curve inward to support the inward curve of your lower back.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so the straighter your back is, the better. You don't want to be hunched forward.
And do you want armrests?
Armrests are great. As long as they're at approximately 90 degrees and your wrist is not coming up or down from your elbow.
Okay.
They're fine. Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah. So I get up in the morning. We talked about this a little bit before. I'm going to get up in the morning. I'm going to stretch. I'm going to drink water. What am I going to do to keep my body aligned before I come to see you?
So stretching, of course, is important, but you said you're going to eat breakfast, and that's an important thing, too. We should start every day with a good breakfast, and that breakfast should be approximately 40% complex carbohydrates, which is like oatmeal, for example. Mm-hmm. And you should have some protein in there, maybe an egg white. And
can you have the whole egg?
Of course. This week you can.
This week we can. Okay, because we're in a panic-demic.
Right. So, you know, there's good stretches that Dr. Schumann, of course, prescribes and does as part of his practice. I tell a lot of my patients, you know, while you're laying in bed, let's make sure you do a good stretch on your hamstring, since those hamstring muscles are the second largest muscle group in your body, and they attach to the pelvic girdle, and that will affect your low back. So a good stretch for the hamstrings while you're laying in bed, simply bringing your knee to your chest, pushing your heel out and trying to straighten out your leg is a great stretch to do there while you're relaxing in bed.
Uh-huh.
And do that on both sides and, you know, slowly get yourself up.
Oh, excuse me one minute. It seems like we have another caller. Who do we have on the line?
Ron Regan.
Hi, Ron. How are you today?
I'm fine. How are you?
Joyful and grateful. You know me.
I do.
Who do you have a question for?
Well, actually, probably both of the doctors.
Okay.
I've been a patient of Alexander Spine for a couple of years now, so I know Dr. Schulman, and I haven't met Dr. Tintillo yet. I'm looking forward to seeing him in a couple of weeks.
Looking forward as well.
So, yeah.
Go ahead, Ron.
I had an appointment for this month, but I canceled. I'm going to see you in about 10 days.
That's good for you, Ron, because you had some horrific stuff during this whole pandemic, huh?
We had some, yeah, interesting stuff. Yeah.
You were actually stuck on a boat for a while?
Yeah, we were on a cruise ship, and we were one of the cruise ships that wouldn't let us dock anywhere after we left Puerto Rico. And we got as far as Marseille, France, and French let us in. And then we were rescued by the United States State Department. They flew us home from there.
Wow. It's an adventure.
Yeah, it was an adventure. But, you know, I did want to say hello to Dr. Schumann because I haven't seen him for a couple of months either.
Hi, Ron. How you doing?
I'm doing fine. And, you know, I hurt my knee. This is so bad.
No.
Way back in October, I hurt my knee. I was exercising. And it's just a simple little thing. And then Joyce and I went to Europe and, you know, we just walked all over the place and it just got worse. When I came back, I talked to Dr. Schumann and, you know, you gave me some exercises to do, which I've been doing them. And I stay off my leg, especially when we're on the cruise ship, right? We were locked in our room for a week, so there was no place to go. It felt great. But as soon as I start walking again, it just starts hurting again. So, hopefully I get to talk with you when we come in next week.
We'll get you back in good shape.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
Get you assessed and see what's going on with that knee.
Thanks for calling in, Ron. I hope to see you soon.
Oh, I hope to see you too, Linda.
Have a great day. Hi to Joyce,
okay,
too.
Okay, I will. Bye-bye.
Yes, I know, Doc, before this whole pandemic, you were doing some educational seminars in the office, and I'm hoping when this all ends, you'll be able to do more about that, because I really think people just need to be educated.
Absolutely. That is 100% our plan once we're allowed to do it, is to start doing that. I'd hope to do it weekly. That's our goal.
Yeah, that would be, you know, because everybody just reaches for a pill.
Yeah, absolutely.
And you know, that just leads
that's
into
not
more things.
The right thing to do. Yeah.
Well, you know, I don't think people think that the pill is healing them. The pill is just masking.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Absolutely.
So even though
the same way Dr. Tantillo was talking about the steroids, I mean, it's a very similar, you know, mechanism. You're taking this medication to help take away the symptoms, but the root of the problem is still at large.
Yeah, yeah. So, what's the last thing my caregivers need to hear from you fellows today?
I would like to say one thing about lifting. You know,
yeah.
We hear, you know, since we're young, you know, lift with your legs, not with your back. But if you ever just stop and think about what that means, right? What does that really mean? It means that your back should not be bent when you start to lift something up, right? So if you can keep your back straight from the start, then you won't be using those extensors to lift the object that you're trying to grab. You know, I worry about those that are maybe trying to get into their garage, you know, maybe clean some stuff there, lifting up bins and boxes. And you got to really be careful. Make sure you're planning out your lift. Make sure you know where you're going,
mm-hmm.
and that you are not bending your back to start. Try to get, you know, your legs bent. Maybe get your thighs parallel with the floor, and use those legs, those nice strong leg muscles, to lift that box or bin, and really avoid twisting.
And maybe sometimes we just got to ask for help.
Absolutely. And so you can do a team lift. You know, you can ask for a friend or family member that is around to help grab the other end and just take about half that weight away. That's a great idea as well.
Because you know what, I'm thick. I think, you know, like I'm superwoman all the time, and there's so many times, well, not recently with my arm, but before this, I pick up something and I drag it to wherever and I realize you shouldn't have done that, Linda.
Absolutely.
You know, I get that little feeling or whatever. I just know. So it's all right to ask for help. It doesn't mean you're,
absolutely.
You know, because some of these injuries can be really bad. Talk to me a little bit about my caregivers lifting people.
Yeah, I'm lifting people. I mean, obviously people are very heavy, right? So it's the same kind of approach. And whether you're helping somebody out of bed or you're helping them stand up, you still want to let them help. Now, unless somebody is completely dependent, has absolutely no way to help you, that's different. That's more of a deadlift. But somebody that is, you know, coherent and can talk to you, maybe they're weak, but they can still help. And so what I like to do in the office, if I have somebody that's maybe in a wheelchair or I'm trying to help them get stronger, is I provide them as little support as I can and see what they can do. Right? So if somebody is trying to sit up in bed, sometimes just leaning back with your hands around their back, just, you know, giving them a little bit of help.
Yeah.
You're not really lifting them. They're able to do the rest of the task, and then they feel good about themselves for helping.
Yeah, yeah. And then there's things, too, we have to realize, too. There are now chairs that can help lift them, and there's other things that we can use to help with our loved ones without hurting ourselves. Because my biggest fear is that they're both going to go down together.
Yeah, yeah, and then you're really no good to them if you're hurt.
Right. And then we're both up a creek.
Yeah.
Any last words from you, Doc? Rick?
Well, just to add on to what Dr. Schumann just said, lifting is an issue, and if you lift properly with your legs and not with your back, that's going to be something that's going to preserve your back health. But remember, if you're wearing a back brace or you wear something for support, a lot of companies have you wear those when you go to work. Remember, that doesn't make you stronger, and that doesn't give you a license to lift things heavier. Those are there just to give you that support and not to help you lift things more. And if you do injure yourself, remember, one of the ways you injure your back and really cause more problems is lifting and twisting. As Dr. Schumann said, those are the motions that really can affect our disc the most. So try and avoid that lifting, and while we're lifting, twisting to one side or the other.
Yeah, there's one last thing I wanted to talk to you both about. What happens if somebody's in a car accident? Lots of times they get pretty jostled around, and I think many times they wait a little bit too long before going to see the doctor because the pain isn't there immediately.
Yeah. If you're in a car accident, depending on the mechanism of the accident, were you hitting the rear, were you hitting the side, was it head on? Either way, there's probably going to be some sort of an injury, and, you know, pay attention to your body, right? If you can pay attention to how you feel, if you're hurting, if you're aching. You definitely should be evaluated to make sure that injury is not very significant, and if it is, to get treated appropriately. And that's what we do in our office. We will always do x-rays. We'll assess with a pretty thorough examination, and if we need to refer for further diagnostic testing like MRIs, of course, we'll write prescriptions for that as well, and then refer to other healthcare providers who we all work in tandem with for different things as needed.
Yeah, there's so many different modalities and things. We need to work as a team together to get everything, you know. Like you said, our bodies are miracles. I you know, you think of how it starts. It's like a little piece of spit and a little piece of spit, and a person comes out of it. You know,
it's
like unbelievable. You know, I plant some seeds in the ground. And I watch that little leaf grow, and I'm thinking, I once had a baby growing in me. You know, it's unbelievable. Totally unbelievable. So thanks for being with us today. I appreciate both of you so much, and I'll see you both next week.
Thank you so much for having us.
Okay, and for our listeners, give us your phone number, Doc.
Sure, that's 727-397-3000.
All right, and you can also find all their information on my website. Have a delicious weekend, guys.
Stay healthy, stay safe.
Thanks. Okay, now it's time to hear from our wonderful partners, because you know the deal. If you don't hear from them, you don't get to hear from me. So don't go away. We'll be right back on Connecting Caregivers Radio.
Choosing the right chiropractor is an important choice to make. Located in Seminole, the Alexander Spine Center team is trained on the latest chiropractic treatments and technologies. At Alexander Spine Center, you'll find chiropractic and physical therapy care that is safe, effective, and a natural approach to pain and other health-related issues. Chiropractic unlocks your body's potential and natural healing process to ensure your life is a healthy life. We treat clients from the womb to the tomb. Call 727-397-3000 for a free consultation today, or visit our website at www.alexanderspinecenter.com.
They take good care of me twice a week. And did you know they got the Reader's Choice Award for 2019 for the best chiropractic in Pinellas County? So check them out.
Arden Courts is an assisted living facility designed to care for those that are struggling with dementia or Alzheimer's, where families and residents can feel the freedom with a nurse on site 24/7. Arden Courts provides specialized memory care in a safe and nurturing environment. They recognize every individual's physical, mental, and social needs and provide a secure environment that fosters independence for as long as possible. Walking paths, visual cues, and home-like amenities invoke a sense of freedom and independence. At Arden Courts, their goal is to make your loved one as comfortable, independent, and healthy as possible. They offer 10 hours a day of activities and programming with a unique setting of a home-like environment and 4 theme houses. It warms my heart to see how happy the residents are. Please call or stop in to talk with a representative. Arden Courts of Seminole at 727-517-7800, Largo 727-559-8411, or Palm Harbor 727-771-1600. Give them a call.
Guaranteed to make you laugh through your tears, Linda Burhan's book, Good Night and God Bless, is filled with humor and heartfelt inspiration to aid anyone facing the challenge of caring for a loved one at the end of life. Her story offers hope for human strength and understanding of weaknesses during a difficult time. Life doesn't normally prepare us to become a loved one's caregiver. When it happens, it's usually sudden. A diagnosis of an illness, age-related frailty, dementia, and life suddenly is anything but normal. And because we don't even know what we don't know, where do we turn to for help or guidance? In Connecting Caregivers, answers to the questions you didn't know you needed to ask, Linda offers information, education, and inspiration from her own experience and from experts whose advice, practical tools, and personal stories will empower and guide you. Make sure to add these inspiring books to your collection today, available on Amazon.com.
Don't turn it off now. You need this stuff. Tampa Bay's Tantalk Radio Network.
It's time for events. Unfortunately, Lynn's not here, and there aren't a lot of events. But they're starting. Everyone is starting to do events on Zoom everywhere. I wish I had stock in Zoom. So I do support groups on Zoom now. I do one every Wednesday night, one the second Saturday of every month, and one the third Thursday of every month. There are other people doing them. Dr. Kate McCarty, you can go to katemccarty.com, and she is doing her virtual cafes, her memory cafes. Also, the one that I do on Wednesday night, I co-host with Debbie Self-Savage, and she does some a group on Tuesdays and I believe a group on Thursdays. So there's a lot of things going out there with Zoom, which I think is really wonderful. The webinar or seminar that we had the other day with Tam Cummings, I thought was wonderful. I will be doing an Arden Courts webinar coming up in the next, I don't know, 6 weeks or something. I'll tell you when it is. We're still working on it. So there's still places to connect. And I find with the caregivers, well, everybody's like, oh, this is new technology. I don't know how to do it, you know, but it's not that difficult. If I can do it, you can do it. But just to see our faces together and have a conversation, some of the caregivers, I just feel better just seeing the other people from the group. And as always, we always share ideas and different things. And try to do this with your family. We now are going to have a family chat every Sunday night at 6 o'clock. My family, whoever is available, will be able to come in. And I really like it, seeing somebody's face and talking to them on the computer, especially much better with the phone, because me personally, I get distracted with the phone. I got the phone, I start walking around, I start doing this. But this way you're all together and you can all share all together. So think about setting that up. It's been very wonderful for people that have loved ones in communities that are not able to go and visit them. And please be patient, though, with the staff in the communities, because they're trying to take care of a lot of people and a lot of stuff is going on. And it's not really so easy for them to do it, but a lot of them are really trying very hard to do all of that. So the other thing I said that I talked about last week is they have those digital photo frames. So you can pick up one of those photo frames and put a whole bunch of pictures on it and then mail it to them. And then daily, if you want, you can send new pictures. You just send it right through your phone, right to their machine. So even though you haven't seen them that day, you could send them a different picture every single day. That's exciting. It's like a surprise. It's like fun. I also want to say to caregivers, too, is sometimes your loved one is just fine in the community. You're the one that's having a little bit of the breakdown. You're the one that's feeling bad because you can't go to see them. They are still in their environment. They are still doing their routines. Their routines may be a little adjusted. They may be a little bit different, but they're still doing routines. They're doing a whole lot better probably than you are. I had somebody call me the other day and say, I go and visit my husband every single day for like 3 hours. I'm having withdrawals here. I don't know what to do. So she's been driving by and having some signs, and some of the different communities are having parades and having dogs come by, different things like that. But just reach out, do some things at home. People are always saying, I wish I had time to do this, I wish I had time to do that. I don't want to hear about any of that when this whole thing is over, because we all have plenty of times to do a lot of stuff now. I'm so glad that I got my cast off, because that will help me a whole lot more too. Also, we still have the caregiver contest going on. So go to lindaburhans.com and nominate a caregiver. Each caregiver will win. Each caregiver that is entered wins something. But the main one that we pull out of a hat gets 8 hours of respite care from either Maria's Adult Daycare or Arden Courts or Assisting Hands Home Care. They also get a massage and a facial. Now we know we're not going to be able to do any of that stuff right now. But the last time we had also a Kindle Fire in there. So there's all different gifts for the caregiver. People are just so excited when someone just takes the time to nominate them, to say you did a good job, to say you're doing a great job. So just do that. I also want to mention a little bit, I know we never want to worry our families, but sometimes you need to tell your kids, I'm having a tough time with dad, or I'm having a tough time with mom, or this is a tough time for the both of us. Because we don't want to worry our children, and we always tell them everything's okay, and sometimes it's not okay and we need some help. And I think your children will be more hurt in the end if they find out that you didn't tell them you needed help, if you burn yourself out. Recently, a caregiver died before her husband. She had been taking care of him for a long time. She was totally burned out to the point that she had a heart attack. Her kids live out of state. They travel a lot. They said they didn't have a clue. Well, there's two different clues there. One is just don't talk to your loved ones on the phone when it comes to the point where we're able to visit again. You need to visit and make sure everything is okay. If you're a caregiver and you're loved one has been caregiving for a while, no matter what, they need help. I don't care how good they tell you that they're doing, they always need help. They always need a switch. So please take that. Maybe just send them something nice, because they go above and beyond. You know, the caregivers don't eat well, they make sure the loved one's eating well. The caregivers don't go to the doctors half the time, they make sure the loved one's going to the doctor. The caregiver doesn't exercise and do any of that kind of stuff. And caregivers are just so valuable. I also want to shout out to all of the people, the doctors, the nurses, the CNAs, the janitors, everyone that's working in the hospital to keep things up for us. It's really, really important. I have a cousin who passed away this week from COVID. Angelo lives on Long Island, in his early 60s. So it's hitting close to home, and it's hitting home for everybody. So now that you have that time to talk on the phone or to write that letter or to journal, do it. Now that you have that time to learn Zoom or whatever, do it and connect with your family. Let them know how much you love them. Because tomorrow's not guaranteed for any of us. So I'm so glad that you were here today. I know how valuable your time is. Please tune in again next week. Remember, God loves you all the time, and have a delicious day.
Your head together and call.